It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Now it's time for another Guy Benson Show, Benson Bite, where we bring you the day's most interesting interviews in a bite-sized package. For the full episode, visit GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
With us now is Eli Lake. He's a reporter at the Free Press and a contributing editor at Commentary, at Eli Lake on social. Eli, good to have you here.
Don't forget the podcast, Re-Education, coming back with the Free Press soon.
Fantastic. We love to see it, or in this case,
always
love to hear it.
Always great to be here, by the way, Guy.
Of course.
I love your show.
Thank you. So I want to start with this, and it goes to a point you've been making on social media that I think is an important one, which is this notion that some journalists are actually really, I think, like seriously trying to pursue and trying to inculcate, which is, oh, there's just so many smears happening of these students on college campuses. They aren't these horrible people backing Hamas and saying these terrible things. Those are interlopers. Those are outside agitators, and these groups are being commingled and conflated on purpose to smear the students. Okay, let's explore that a little bit, because Students for Justice in Palestine, SJP, they put out a social media post just over the weekend in which they had a few screenshots of the Houthis. So there's groups of Houthis. These are terrorists, Iran-backed terrorists, that had some posters made up in English, one of which says, "Dear American students, they can arrest you, but they can never break your spirit. Basically, we're with you." And then that's in English. And then they've got their other typical banners in the background, the Houthi slogan emblazoned on the banners, which read as follows, not in English: "Allahu Akbar, death to America, death to Israel, cursed be the Jews, victory to Islam." And the national organization of SJP, Students for Justice in Palestine, tweeted out the photos of solidarity from an actual terrorist group, and they said, "Thank you, Yemen," with a heart emoji. This comes on the heels of Hamas endorsing the protests and Iran's supreme leader endorsing the protests. Of course, he murders protesters in his own country. You would think, at least from a PR perspective, if you hate Israel this much and you feel like it's useful to have journalists pretend like you're not pro-terrorism, you wouldn't advertise your endorsements from literal terrorists.
The Students for Justice in Palestine, you know, right after October 7th, you know, put out a tweet, and I forget exactly what it said, but it was around the, basically saying, you know, all praise the resistance. And the organization has been taking a lead role in what's really been a movement building up to these campus quad takeovers, or as the as my friend Leo Leibowitz calls it, the tentafada.
Yeah.
It gets to a serious issue, which is that the Western left fails to understand what I call the weak fascist problem, because they tend to only look at conflicts in terms of power dynamics. So that assumes that every time the weaker party is in the right, but it fails to account for the fact that there are sometimes conflicts where the weaker party, such as Hamas, is a fascist organization that has attacked a democratic country like Israel. And so it has really, I think, led not just the students, I mean, the students can be forgiven, I suppose, they're young, but the professoriate, some members of Congress, such as the Squad, like Ilhan Omar, who said something absolutely disgusting over the weekend in an interview when she was visiting her daughter, who was, disciplined. This is it's a problem, basically, that sort of is like there's no way to account for the fact that just because you are the weaker party in a conflict does not mean you are in the right. Hamas started the war on October 7th. They violated a ceasefire. Their treatment of women, their treatment of gays and lesbians is absolutely atrocious. They exist outside of any notion of international law, let alone the rules of war. And so to find organizations in solidarity with it, and then to sort of endure a kind of almost gaslighting campaign from the media to say, no, they just don't like all the suffering. And I'm sure there are many students, by the way, who are attracted to these protests and sit-ins and whatever, who really are just concerned because they see on TikTok and the news, you know, a lot of suffering caused by the war in Gaza. That's true. So I understand that. But the leaders of these protests, such as this Kimani Jones nonsense person, are absolutely atrocious. And you have to ask yourself, these people are being trained to be leaders of a liberal democracy? Are you out of your mind? This is somebody who you kind of proudly gave a rant about how we believe that all Zionists didn't have a right to live. That includes more than 90% of all Jewish people. Zionism just means that you believe that a Jewish state should exist.
Yeah, this was the kid at Columbia who said that
who
we should all be grateful. We should all be grateful that he hasn't started murdering us yet.
Is anybody going to, like, critically look at the fact that there is video of this guy or they or whatever their pronouns are where they're leading, like, automatons, like he's, you know, Jim Jones or something. Like, it looks like a cult where he is saying something and then the crowd says it after him. That just strikes me as a kind of example, an illustration of the illiberal elements now that have taken over the progressive movement. You know, obviously, I mean, I've been on the show before. I hope the audience probably knows my views is that Israel has a right to defend itself and that a lot of the claims against Israel are hyperbole, exaggeration, in some cases outright falsehoods. But it's okay to just say, I think Israel might, you know, I disagree with these tactics and it shouldn't do this and wouldn't it be better to have a ceasefire, et cetera. But the chants are from the rivers to the sea, Palestine will be free. That's a Hamas slogan. Globalize the Intifada, that is like a terrorism slogan. So when you use the, when you mimic the slogans of terrorist groups, when you, that you will see the flags of terrorist groups in this organ, in some of these encampments, and you basically say that October 7th was justified resistance. Well, you know, at what point do we have to sort of conclude, well, you're pro-terrorist.
Yes.
You have a right, by the way, to speak. I believe in free speech if you want to make your pro-terrorist views known. But you don't get to, you know, I mean, outside observers who are looking at this should not, you know, beat around the bush or pretend that that's not what's going on here.
Yeah, you also don't have a right to create, quote-unquote, liberated zones on private or public property, and try to, in the process, like they're so proud of their activism, Eli, that they cover their faces, they sign petitions anonymously, and they try to throw journalists and cameras out of all of these encampments. This is a point that Noah Bloom has made.
Only the unfriendly ones, right. And then there's something else going on here, too, which is that we've all seen over the past, you know, let's call it 7 or 10 years, college campuses have become hotbeds of speech regulations that are meant to protect the safety of various minorities. So when the only minority on campus that doesn't have the protection or gets to play under these new rules, which is to say, I'm feeling unsafe because you keep saying the only Jewish state should be destroyed. Well, you know, that's the only group that doesn't get to, you know, kind of have a veto, a safety veto. Now, I happen to be against the safety vetoes. I think college campuses should be places of robust debate.
Yes.
But to claim that these students are representing free speech is to completely misunderstand what's been happening in recent years. What's actually happening here is that we've learned that there is an exception to, you know, the rules against microaggressions. It's that if you're Jewish, you can be micro and in some cases macroaggressed. And that
or
right
assaulted.
There is that double standard is anti-Semitic, and that's really that's shame to the administrations in these places, less so for the students. But I think Jewish students on campus today have every right to say, wait a second, I thought these were the rules. They're not the rules anymore when it comes to, you know, offending and making Jews feel unsafe. Get out of here. You know, I mean, I would like to I'd like the rules to be revamped, and I'm sure I'd imagine you do. Guy, but the double standard is so grotesque. it's unbelievable.
No, it's like, you know, we don't say master bedroom and master bathroom anymore, because that might make people think about slavery for some reason. That's the new thing. But you can chant for the Intifada, and that's perfectly fine. Totally protected free speech is what
Monty
is.
Jones. And listen, he's a kid, and I normally would not want to, you know, spend much time on college students, because when I was a college student, I wrote and said, you know, some dumb things as well. But, you know, the school, he said these things. He live streamed it on his Instagram. He said, you know, I don't think Zionists should live. And, you know, if anybody comes at me, I will fight to kill. And, you know, Zionists are like Nazis and all of this crazy stuff in an actual Zoom meeting to talk about, you know, with administrators to talk about concerns over some of his social media posts. They did nothing.
No, it was a disciplinary meeting with Columbia administrators in which he said all of these things months ago. And only when it came to light publicly, because he put it on his Instagram, did they kick him off of campus. It's unclear if he's been suspended or expelled. But Columbia, I mean, we saw chanting the other night, again, going back to this lie from journalists, a number of journalists saying, oh, no, it's these smears against the students are so unfair. It's part of this right-wing hate machine and blah, blah, blah. They were chanting, students within the gates of Columbia, in Arabic, they were chanting about how they want to stomp on the head of Mahmoud Abbas, who's the Palestinian Authority leader, because he was insufficiently radical. So they're chanting violently about a Palestinian leader who isn't enough of a terrorist for their liking. And then they were chanting about ethnic cleansing against Jews in Israel. I mean, this is what they are saying on campus in Arabic. We have to understand what's going on here and see it for what it is. We've also seen enormous weakness at so many of these schools. I mean, at Harvard this weekend, they put up a Palestinian flag where the U.S. flag typically flies at a very famous area of campus with a bunch of people chanting away. GW in D.C. asked the government to come in, the cops to come in and clear one of these illegal protests. And apparently the mayor's office and officials said, stand down. We're not going to allow that. It's bad optics to interfere with peaceful protests. And, of course, the protesters got the message, blew past the barricades, put the barricades onto a giant pile and started chanting late at night and into the night, globalized the Intifada, overrunning the few officers who were there. I mean, this type of so-called leadership from adults is emboldening these people, empowering these people, and there's now a showdown at Columbia right now because the school today gave these people, these students and others, a 2 p.m. deadline to get out or face all sorts of consequences. And as of right now, we're well past that deadline. We haven't seen anything except for faculty coming out to support the so-called protesters. And, I mean, this is the gauntlet's been thrown, Eli. And now we'll see if Columbia is going to completely disgrace itself further or actually enforce some of these rules, which could get ugly.
Well, you know, I have a basic question here because I can understand why. I mean, I'm uncomfortable with the idea of the National Guard coming in or, like, you know, if you don't want to see police clashing with students. I mean, I kind of understand that. But why can't Columbia turn on the sprinklers? Is there somebody at the buildings and ground there who could just turn on the sprinklers? And then I think that'll probably drive a lot of these, you know, precious snowflakes away because, you know, who wants to get their tent filled with Aveeno products all wet? I mean, it's just absurd.
And well, the fact that it's come to this place.
Like, there's no porta potties for our, you know, illegal protests where we're preventing people from, like, using public spaces at the university is absurd.
No, it's ridiculous. And they've let it get away from them. And I think the biggest thing that has to happen beyond arrest or anything like that, you need to just start getting and identifying the ringleaders, the people who have behaved worst, and expelling them. And I think that will put the fear of God into quite a few of these people and things will sort themselves out. But unless there are true consequences that the students believe will be real and lasting, you're going to get more of this. Quickly, Eli, before I let you go, I saw at USC, at one of these encampments, I believe it was USC, they did, and this is what we're seeing at a lot of them, they're saying, oh no, we're not anti-Semitic. Anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism. How dare you say that about us? Look, we have our very own Jews here, and they support us. Look, we're having a Seder. So they had a Seder, quote-unquote, over the weekend, a Seder dinner, in the middle of the day, days late, and the Hebrew was all written backwards. And apparently no one there understood that any of these things might suggest that this is all a giant show. I just wonder what you make of that. The people pointing to are good Jews, which disproves the anti-Semitism supposed attack.
Well, I wrote a piece a few months ago for Commentary Magazine. I also did a podcast on this, on the history of what I call the Aza Jews, Jews who say, as a Jew, I am against the occupation and think that the genocide and blah, 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 blah. And there's a whole history, and it goes back, you could argue, to the Book of Maccabees, where there are Jews who side with the enemies of Jews. It's nothing particularly new. I focused on a figure named Johannes Pfefferkorn, who in the 16th century decided that, you know, he converted to Catholicism and helped lead an unsuccessful purge of all of Germany's Talmuds. So this is the kind of stuff that we're talking about. There's a real ignoble history. It doesn't represent the vast majority of Jews in this country. Maybe it represents Jews on these campuses. I don't know, but it's not. That doesn't get you off the hook for basically supporting the elimination of the world's only Jewish state after it was horrifically attacked in an attempted genocidal act, although they didn't have the power to kind of conduct it. I just want to go back to one other thing, because I think you're absolutely right.
30 seconds, yeah, Eli.
You're absolutely right about the ringleaders guy. But there also has to be sort of an understanding just in our culture and our media in general. The Students for Justice for Palestine should be treated the same way that the Proud Boys or the Charlottesville organizers were treated. They are bigots. They are haters.
Yes.
They're anti-Semites. And once there's some of that social pressure, like, I don't want to be seen with you, then I think that we can maybe begin to turn the ship around. But until then, we're in a real pickle.
Yeah, SJP, all over the country, they are explicit terrorism glorifiers. Not in my words, in their words. I say believe them. You're absolutely right. Eli Lake, the Free Press, Commentary, the podcast, lots of ways to get his content. Eli, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Guy.
We'll be right back.
That was yet another Benson Bite. For full episodes of The Guy Benson Show, go to GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.